Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on Quicksand Supply Podcast, where have all the good teams gone? We go in-depth to try and find out if the Patriots will meet any resistance between here and Minnesota. The Miami Dolphins rolled into town later this week, and Jay Cutler somewhat concussed. Can Matt Moore bring the heat? Finally, is Danny Amendola the MVP of the Patriots in 2017? I make that case. All that and more on
Quicksand Supply Podcast. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Great work on the open, Tom.
Four takes to get that done. You know why, folks?
Because we want it perfect for our listeners.
Additionally, because it's hard these days to find compelling angles.
Fodder.
To the team. I mean, they're clearly... We just tried to do whiteboard this thing, and Phil wanted to talk about why there's 7 offensive tackles. And then Phil said to himself, I'm going to edit myself here and say, I don't think anybody wants to talk about offensive tackles.
Can you stop slamming your pen on the table, please? It's a podcast. See, Phil, this is audio-based content.
I think people understand that I'm getting urgent when they hear that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, right, Gerard. Keep doing it.
Hola.
How you doing, man?
Doing well. Doing well.
Excited to be here.
You know, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about, you know, how the Patriots are playing in all 3 phases of the game. I'm not excited about the product that the overall NFL is putting out there.
Why has it gotten this way? Give me 3 quick reasons. Because I'm sure you got a fleet of them.
I do. And I'll give you 2, and then maybe Phil can fill in the 3rd one. For me, there aren't many legitimate quarterbacks in the league, or legit quarterbacks who can actually win you a game, right? When people are starting, you know, and the whole Buffalo Bills thing is...
But they're on the other side. You could say that the Wentzes and the Goffs and all those guys...
I'm talking AFC, right?
Okay.
All right, AFC. All right, the quarterbacks stink, right? Secondly, I think teams, you know, going into the season, everyone, you know, a lot of teams look pretty solid. It's like, oh, these teams look great. But when you start to get down to the depth of the teams, I think, you know... Some teams are really missing at the second layer. And the Patriots are deep for the most part in a lot of different positions. Phil, I don't know.
I like both of those. I think the 3rd is coaching. Coaching around the league is...
Stinks.
Not great at a lot of places. And we talked about
yesterday.
This before.
Stinks.
Holy God.
And he's supposed to be one of the better ones, Gerard.
Stinks.
That's the thing. That's what's crazy is that you have a lot of old guard coaches that have held their jobs for a long time, sometimes inexplicably so. Marvin Lewis, for example, has a team in contention a lot of years.
So we
but he's
go
been
Marvin
around
Lewis, Pete Carroll.
Forever.
Andy Reid.
At least Pete Carroll's won something.
Well, even Jeff Fisher was Mr. 8-8.
He was
Andy Reid, Jim Caldwell.
Pete Carroll is such an in spite of himself kind of guy. He helps a culture get together, it seems to me, on a team. He helps a mindset, and that mindset rewards them for a period of time until they start to eat themselves because of that mindset and personality.
You can't throw Andy Reid into that bucket, though. I'm going to stop you there. And I know
you like Andy Reid.
You know, the thing about Andy, he has continued to evolve with the game. And that's what it's all about, right? I think a lot of these coaches, like you said, have been stuck in their ways, and they're still doing some of the things they were doing 30 years ago. Even Bill today is still spending 8 hours a day in the film room after everyone's gone. And I don't think that – and I can't really speak to it, but, you know, by some of the decisions that are being made, especially on the fly, I can tell some of these coaches are ill-prepared.
Over their heads. I think it goes back to – we've talked about this here before. Owners getting impatient, wanting the next big thing – going younger, trying to figure out who's the next guy after 1 or 2 years, and you don't have guys that can build a program. So there's guys on both ends of it, the Jason Garretts, you know, guys who have been at their jobs for a while now and should have it pretty well figured out, and then you have all these other teams We've had an up-close look at it here in the division, the AFC East, where guys get 2 or 3 years and then, boom, they're out because they can't challenge for the division.
And you know what's going to happen? It's not even about challenging for the division. What you're seeing, especially here, is continuity at the assistant level, at the next level. So Bill's doing a great job, right? But he also has two guys who have been there for a long time. And you look across the league, and most of these guys, like the Vance Josephs, and those guys did a great job for a few years, and then, boom, gone. This is the new shiny gold object. Boom, now let's go be a head coach somewhere. And it shouldn't work like that. Like, here, they're actually nurturing the coaches up.
And those guys, both McDaniels and Patricia, have been at their jobs, have had their titles since 2012. Since 2012, right? There are five other coordinators across the league who have been in their jobs for at least the same length of time. Yep. So across the league, 64 coordinators.
Yeah.
Seven have been at their gigs from 2012 on, and the Patriots have too.
And think about it. It's not like those guys haven't been offered jobs. They just haven't been offered the right job.
And when you look at, even in the Patriots system, when they turned over the coordinator position, especially with McDaniels in 2008, and I know that, you know, McDaniels, obviously in 2009, the 2008 season, McDaniels was here. He went to Denver. But Bill O'Brien came in. He's obviously a talented coach, and he gets guys to play for him, but the Patriots didn't win anything. There was definitely a reassimilation that existed. You could see it on the sidelines. Bill had a different way of doing things than Josh did. One of the reasons that I think teams are struggling, too, is, at least relative to the Patriots, is I think that they're not nearly as mentally tough. I think that the Patriots embrace the improvement that goes on during the season. We know we're going to suck relative to how we're going to look in October, in November, and December. We're going to suck in September. We're going to walk through fire during that month and improve and improve and improve.
For sure. And they self-scout on a regular basis. Most teams, they wait until like a bye week or something like that to self-scout. These guys are getting instant feedback. Even though the players get instant feedback, if I step the wrong way, I'm getting smacked in my face. I knew I went the wrong way. But these guys are breaking down film each and every week. They have a staff that are breaking down film, and they are going to bust these keys every single week, and you're seeing teams, especially on those short weeks, they get stuck in this whole thing of this is how we're going to do it, and now everyone's on.
How many teams do you think would have embraced the play in Denver, then stay in Colorado Springs away from your family for a week, and then go to Mexico City where there's pollution and
oh, for sure,
and altitude
volcanoes going off, shifting plates.
You're right. Closer to the
all
pollution.
Of that. Think about that. So you didn't hear one whisper of complaint. And God, you've been in that locker room.
Yeah, it's all about embracing the suck, like you said. I forgot to say, embrace the suck.
Well, and they do that, and a lot of other teams. And look, at the end of the week, Bill basically said, look, and he said in that locker room breakdown, you guys really worked hard. You really earned this. I guess putting that carrot out there, they play for each other. They play for Bill's standard. But I don't know if every team can play for Sean McDermott's standard.
Yeah, because credibility, though, right? So Bill has the credibility, which is huge with players. And I think I look back when Josh went to Denver, and I had friends over, you know, in Denver, and they would like tell me some of the things he was saying. And I'm like, wow, that sounds a lot like Bill. I guarantee you the second time around that Josh becomes a head coach, it's going to be Josh McDaniels. Of course, he's going to take some things, you know, some of the Patriot ways.
He's worked
ways
under him forever.
For sure. Right. But this time is going to be completely different than the previous time.
What's interesting, too, about the Patriots, I think, and Gerard, you could speak to this as well, is that mental toughness aspect is something that they try to build as the season goes.
For sure.
But isn't it something that they try to scout as well? It feels like the guys they bring in, whether it's draft, free agency, trades, what have you, they want these guys. I think you have to have a certain level of mental toughness, a certain baseline of mental toughness to even get into the building.
For sure. And the way you weed these guys out, you know, I've talked about it before on this podcast, is, you know, Bill recruits guys who love the game of football, right? And that's easy, you know, it's easy to say, but there are a lot of guys in the league who just like to, you know, just like to make money or just like to, you know, get into the club for free or things like that. But if you don't really enjoy playing football, if you're one of those guys who, you know, we have an 8 o'clock squad and you're in at 7:55 or you're first person at the door at 4 o'clock, you're not going to make it here in New England. And that's how, you know, and that's how the culture has been shaped. It was like that before I even got here. And that's how you're able to get some of these, quote, troublemakers to come to an organization like New England and all of a sudden just fit right in.
It's because that culture? Is it modeling? I mean, whatever the other 10 people in the room are doing, eventually you're going to do the same thing?
For sure, definitely. And you know, I think it starts with the captains, though, right? Because the thing about it, Bill's not in the locker room. Like, you know, he's not like a Pete Carroll, right? Pete Carroll, as I hear it, you know, he's like joking around all the time, like with his players.
Playing
like,
ping pong.
Blah, 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 yeah, we're doing that, which is cool, which is fine and dandy as long as you're winning. But as soon as you start losing, it's like everyone's doing their own thing. Bill, you know, Bill's the type of guy. He's not into micromanaging. What he's going to do is he's going to tell the captains, hey, this is what we need to do to win the game. It's your responsibility as a captain to either, you know, I don't want to say dumb the message down, but make it simple enough that everyone else on the team can understand it. Because it's hard to have, you know, look at corporate America. If you have 60 direct reports, that's a hard, you know, that's a hard organization to run if you're one guy, right? So you have to rely on the next layer to really get the message disseminated across the organization.
When you talk about that, dumbing things down,
that probably was a bad
one. No, it's not. It's not, because you have to distill the points, which Bill has talked about many times, and Bill Parcells used to talk about this. Three things we're going to do, whether it's let Thurman Thomas run for 100 yards in the 1990 Super Bowl and we'll win was one of them. But when you talk about dumbing things down, the mental challenges, like you look at Del Rio the other day. Del Rio does what he does. That's why Tom Brady averages 26 for 32 for 285 yards and two touchdowns over a
same 91. With Pittsburgh, though. They've been built on the zone blitz, and I feel like they're going to live and die by the zone blitz.
Isn't it too hard for players, generally speaking? Like, you guys switch and switch and switch and switch. That makes it extremely hard and challenging for the players. If I was a player, I'd probably rather go to, can I just stick with one thing?
No, because this is the thing, right? So,
but I'm saying that's a mental toughness thing. You mean I have to rip it up and learn something new this week? And you have to get
but
to
it's embrace not,
that.
It's not like all of a sudden we're ripping it up, right?
Okay.
Through training camp, this is what happens, all right, for the Patriots defense. And then I'll tell you other teams. So, during training camp, you throw the whole shebang. It looks like a phone book. It's a legit phone book, right, of plays you have to learn. And within those plays, you have certain tools, right? So say like 7 tools per play. But when you learn the tools, you're able to get into situations and say one word and everyone knows what tool to use, right? So what happens is you never really get good at one thing. Or great at one thing, kind of like how Seattle was great at cover 3 or cover 6 or whatever. You knew they were great at this one defense. But at the same time, all right, this is what we're going to do this week. We'll zone blitz it. We've repped it so many times in training camp. Now, remember the tools, remember the words. We went go back to Ram and Lion and
all lock and those, combo.
Lock and combos. All of those concepts, kind of, you throw them into a bucket, and they all just they make a play. It's kind of like here's the sheet music. It's instruments. Here's the sheet music, and then you know you get some of these people who really know like how to read sheet music. They could play the song first time, first go around.
Or the other people who
they know the notes.
They know the notes, right. They know the notes.
The string section could see what the horn section's doing and
for
just
sure.
Play off of them because of that. What were you going to say other teams are like?
Yeah, so other teams, they're like, all right, you know, we'll just get great at 2 or 3 plays and see what happens. So now it's like, all right, now I can play, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb with 6 different instruments instead of being able to play, you know, like
with
a complicated...
The orchestra,
right.
Which you could get by with, but... It's probably not ideal against certain other schemes that you're seeing on the other side.
But you can get by. You can only get by with that if you have superior players, right? So even look at the Seattle. Those guys had a pass rush that, you know, when they were really smoking, they had a good secondary, yep. But they also had a pass rush that was really, you know, Bennett and those and Cliff Averill and those guys were really getting after it, right? Look at the other teams who, you know, they play like the same thing. They have always had, like Pittsburgh. When Pittsburgh was really cooking, their linebackers, they had Ferrier, Foote, they had Porter, they had Harrison. They had linebackers who could really, you know, kind of play those spots.
Yep.
Like, so when
they're
you
getting
look
better.
At yeah.
Steelers defense is getting
for sure,
better.
For sure.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
So if the Patriots had a different level of personnel. You know what? I'm going too far afield.
No, go ahead. No, get into it.
If they had a different level of front personnel. You might see them play in a different way. They don't have overwhelming athletes. Trey Flowers has some great physical tools, and he's got some, you know, just his frame is unique. But he's not Chandler Jones.
Right.
He's not.
And when you look across that defense, there aren't many first-rounders. And I'm just saying first-rounders because most of the time a first-rounder has, like,
blue chip.
No, they have a, they have like a the different top 15 guys.
Yeah, they have a different type of body,
physical
right?
skill set.
I had an eight pack coming out. That's why I was top 10. No, I'm just
eight pack.
I was one of those guys with the bad bodies. I was one of those guys with the bad bodies. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, yeah.
I don't know. We were just talking about your vertical. Pro day
yeah,
coming out of
sure.
Tennessee. Was it over 40? Jumped like 40 inches.
40 inches. Man.
40 inches
for like
stupid.
Two. Yeah, how heavy were you?
Now I was two. I weighed at 242.
It's pretty good.
What was the best dunk you ever threw down?
No 360s. I get dizzy.
Windmill.
I could windmill.
Crazy windmill.
I could windmill.
You could windmill?
Yeah, for sure.
You ever do that in one of like the Foxborough firefighters
no,
or whatever?
Never. I just sometimes I would say, can I just ref? I just you know at that time it's like just don't get hurt playing basketball.
Crazy.
Yeah,
some of the
Bill
stuff you guys, some of the stuff these guys do. Like you'll see on Twitter, you'll see a video of Malcolm Butler doing some like you know ridiculous
Kyle,
tomahawk dunk.
I saw Kyle Arrington once.
Like,
it looked like
he,
oh yeah, Kyle
he jumped like his body. He jumped his height. It was like an ant.
But you remember Ryan Clady was playing basketball, tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
And then
that's
it happened
scary,
to someone
man.
Else like the next year. It was crazy.
Never
that's
happens
why,
to me.
That's why I don't
I'm
play
sure.
basketball.
Never
all you do is
me.
Play defense.
Well, if you,
you
move,
really can't get hurt
if you move at
defense.
A very
slapping the floor,
very
you get,
slow
you
rate
hit
of
by
speed
a pick.
The
like,
entire
ah.
time, right. your chances of injury go way down.
Yeah, if you're undercutting people as opposed to getting undercut, so I do the undercutting.
Exactly.
All right. So why no good teams? They're not smart. Bad coaches. Bad quarterbacks.
Bad quarterbacks. Gerard, real quick. When it comes to bad quarterbacks, as a defense, would you guys just like kick back when you knew you were about to face Mark Sanchez? For instance,
I'm
trying to think of bad quarterbacks when you were playing. But like, what happens for the defense when you know you're going to see a guy who isn't going to have a great idea of what's going on out there?
Everyone's like, hey, this is a stat game, right? It's like, hey, I'm trying to get my sacks and picks. Everyone's trying to get sacks and picks, right? So for the most part, even a guy like Sanchez, it wasn't like Sanchez couldn't make the throws. He could make the throws. So Sanchez had a hard time with protections. Like, he couldn't really call out the protections or who was hot or who was the mic. Mm-hmm. How you hear Tom, like, hey, 51's the mic. He had a tough time doing that. So they used to make Mangold do it. And Mangold was trying to call it. And every once in a while, you know, you would hear, like, a conversation between the two while they're under center. It's like, ah, no, 54 is the mic. No, and then he'll turn around like, like, no, what are you talking about? So that's so as a defensive player or as a linebacker, we would just move the line around. And that's where this defense, 2017 New England defense, that's where they'll take the next step, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the next step when they actually start stemming around. Because right now they're just lining up, like playing football. They're like, hey, let's just make sure we're all on the same page. And they have the benefit of just doing that because they're not playing good teams.
And you've got, if you're the Patriots 2017, you've got Dolphins with maybe Matt Moore.
Yeah.
You've got Bills with Nathan Peterman.
Or Tyrod Taylor, yeah.
Or maybe Tyrod Taylor.
If I'm Tyrod Taylor, and I'm just – I know Tyrod. We're from the same city. I'm not playing.
Oh, I was thinking that the other day.
I'm
when
not
they
playing.
Said, get in there. Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
I'm not playing. Mm-mm. It was kind of – you know, I would have been like – I remember as a freshman at Tennessee, and, you know, they could burn your red shirt. And every once in a while, if it was a blowout, if you were blowing a team
throw
out
you in there?
Or losing, they would just throw people in. I remember seeing kids get their red shirts blown. I was like, whoa, what? Like, get in there. It was like the fourth quarter. Now their red shirt's gone. I used to just fade to the back. We need a linebacker.
Into the shrubs.
The Homer Simpson into the shrubs. Homer Simpson into the shrubs. You're not burning my red shirt. Just in case.
Why did they do that with him, do you think? Why is Tyrod Taylor not playing in Buffalo?
They're looking to the future. And the thing about it, those guys, you know, and it's,
but they're in the playoffs.
The timing
they
is
were
terrible.
In the
exactly. The timing has been off with a lot of coaches. I just feel like coaches this year, the timing has been
well,
off.
Well, the entire division, and I think we almost have to stop looking at the conference of the league as a whole and look at the division because you're right, Phil. This division is a really good illustration of what's going on around the league. You have teams who can't draft quarterbacks, Peterman, Hackenberg. You have promising guys who go down with injury, Tannehill, who then you have to bring in a stiff. And you got new coaches in Bowles, Gase, and McAvoy.
McDermott.
Sean McAvoy.
Charlie, man. You're thinking Charlie.
Oh, I was thinking McVay, too.
And McVay.
But when you throw all this in there, the Patriots are just going to cruise along, and
for
it's
sure.
like shooting fish in a barrel for them.
But it's also like
how good is
it's
that?
Also like a test bed though for the Patriots because now they could just start trying new things, right? They could
did
just
you
start...
ever have seasons like this? I should ask, where you would just it felt like glorified preseason.
Well, it never as a player, it never feels like glorified preseason. I'll just tell you that we can. It's easy for us to talk about it here on this podcast. But as a player, even after a win, and even though I know Bill comes out and he's like, "Oh, great job, guys!" When you get into that film room on Monday, it's always like you always feel like you've lost the game for the most part. And that's where I think the Patriots get that sense of urgency, right? Because for you to get an attaboy out of Bill Belichick or Matt Patricia or Josh McDaniels, you have had to have gone above and beyond, right? Not just doing your job. You hear it all the time, do your job. If you're doing your job, then it's like, you know, Bill won't cuss you out.
So, and this guy might be the career leader all time in attaboys from Bill Belichick.
No.
Do you,
maybe.
That'd so be a Brady guy, 20
if
years.
If we boiled this mess down, have you ever seen the lack of competition at a more, at a sadder level?
Oh, it's bad. I'm telling you, like, and where did it'd be interesting from your perspective because you're 60 years old and you've seen the generations. Where do you think it started? Does it start?
It started as a compliment.
No, CBA. No, seriously. Seriously. Do you think it started with the CBA and the changing of the rules of two-a-days and the timing's off now? You know, especially – and watch football get worse now because, now you know, it's about to be that time where they can't have
I think it started practices. With the CBA. I think it goes back to college a little bit. I think it honestly even goes back to developmental leagues like NFL Europe.
Europa.
I think those things impact it. But I think that the time and the toughness, the sophistication, Belichick talks about it all the time. You guys, when you came into the league, when you did padded practices on a regular basis, if you're a defensive player, you figured out things that you could do at full speed in practice.
Oh, for sure.
Rep after rep after rep. And now, because you only have a fraction of those, you don't get a full book learning in on those things. You're like, well, when I get in the game, I can do this, this, and this.
Right.
The full speed stuff, I think. You would be able to speak to that better than me, but I think the CBA impacted it. And I honestly think that the level of toughness, when you start cutting people's hours and telling people you don't have to work as hard, yet there's one franchise out there. We talked about it with the Subway analogy before. You have all these different franchises. You have this guy who's a maniac over here who busts ass on his employees, and the other guy's like, yeah, you know, we're just trying to get the subs out on time. Let's try and get these things done this week, okay? And then we'll go home. I think that mindset creeps. But what do I know?
I agree with you.
Phil's grades.
Did some grades. Here, listen, this will be a smoother transition. You know how you're talking about Bill Belichick, even after a big win, gets all over the guys in the film room?
He insinuates was bad.
That's not what I'm trying
to say. No, he'll show.
I put that on myself.
We have what's called the highlights and the lowlights.
The lowlights, right. So you get a lot of lowlights even after a good win.
For sure.
Correct? What would be some of your lowlights from this past weekend's game against the Raiders?
Run defense, I think, which I think will improve.
It was tough. They were over 5 yards a carry, the Raiders were. There were a bunch of third and one, third and two situations where they just couldn't come up with stops. I know those were tough plays.
They still came up with some stops.
They got the fourth down. They got the fourth down one. But yes, run defense I thought was an issue.
But that kind of came down to the whole thing. It's like, all right, guys, we're going to stop the – it comes down to like, hey, this is what we're going to take away. This may be a little softer, but this is what we're going to take away, and that was one of those things. Even though you know when Lynch is in the game, I mean, it's like tackle by group.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing that kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah, I had the two groups that got my lowest grades were the defensive line and the linebackers because I thought just against the run they were – and it wasn't just that they were maybe playing the pass more than the run in certain instances. They were just missed tackles, just guys that were, I thought, showing pretty good hustle on certain plays. You saw Alan Branch and Lawrence Guy making more tackles down the field than – a lot of weeks this year, but it's like, okay, good job by Branch to get from one side of the line to the other and 5 yards down the field to make that tackle, but why the hell did he have to do that in the first place?
And they're still not playing as a unit because they haven't played long enough together, right? Because I saw some plays where it was like, you know, the defensive line, they were blowing the guards back, right? But now there's like a separation, there's this vertical separation, and that, you know, that looks good. It creates a seam. So, you know, when they get to the point where the linebackers are really coming down. No, seriously. When the linebackers are really coming downhill, which is like Elandon Roberts comes downhill, but most of those are calls by Matty P. He's already sending them downhill.
Right.
So now, like, he's there. So, but when they're able to just line up in a base defense and now the linebackers rerun and they're coming downhill now and now that separation is kind of getting smaller, then those guys will really start to stop the run. Malcolm, getting Malcolm back would be huge.
Malcolm Brown.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, too, when you see.
And Malcolm Mitchell.
That would be big, too.
There we go.
Pretty shallow in terms of wide receiver depth.
So low score there, and it'll be interesting before you get to your next grade.
Yeah, B-minus D-line, C-plus linebackers.
Le'Veon Bell, Shady McCoy will be two guys. I'm not saying they're going to lose against the Buffalo Bills, but he can stress them because of his great patience. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So that'll be a great test, and then Le'Veon Bell even more so.
Yep.
What'd you think of the wide receiver core the other day, Phil? Because I got Amendola just – I'm overstating him when I say MVP. But relative to what you expected and the amount that got put on his plate, I think he's been unbelievable.
He's been great. He has not been the most valuable player in the wide receiver room this year for the Patriots. That would be Brandon
relative
Cooks.
To what you expected, though.
I hold Danny Amendola in pretty high esteem. He's a very dependable,
when he's healthy,
trustworthy. Yes, okay, but he's, gets open in any situation kind of guy.
He to me was a 40 to 45 catch guy for 500 yards. That might actually even be aggressive. That'd be 220 yard per catch, but
220 yard per catch. Where's the math?
If I said four,
it's like what?
15.
It's like, hey, look, can I get a change for this 20? Can I get a
change? I was thinking the exact same thing, 20, but I was like, please? Let's just move past.
Right, we'll just keep moving.
No. So if he catches 40 balls,
oh my god,
and they're at 10 yards a catch,
yards. All right, listen, let's not turn this to a math.
So
problem.
I had him at a 40 or 50 yards per catch. Fuck. 40 or 50 catches.
Got it.
For 400 to 500 yards.
Okay.
All right. So what's he on pace for right now?
Listen to this, though. No, it doesn't matter.
He's going to be a 65-catch guy. That's a lot.
I think it's the third downs that have really, you know, the third down
and
conversions.
The red zone, yeah.
But really the third down conversions. Like, we don't really need him. He caught a touchdown. Cool. Whatever. But
he already has 43 receptions this year.
Okay.
The third
he's
down.
He's not an 80-catch guy anymore, and he's doing it.
The third down
picking
receptions.
Picking his nose and chewing it.
Have been great, have been clutch. I think he had four this past game. But I tell you one thing I've been super impressed by, and this is just me coming from a spectator.
What do you got?
A civilian like you guys. I feel like Tom's footwork is at an all-time high right now. Moving around the pocket, not really seeing ghosts. Because every once in a while, when Tom will get hit early, he would like start moving like
yeah,
ducking.
Yeah, he starts
like,
to get
are there ghosts? Like ghosts? But he is moving around the pocket as well as I've seen him.
He was great this past weekend.
He was
just
great.
In terms of stepping up, you saw
the past
Nate
2 weeks
Solder
he did it against the Chargers too.
And LeAdrian Waddle on those edge rushers.
LeAdrian.
Just push him past. Brady step up, step to the right, step to the left. And it's not I think a couple years ago we saw him scramble a little bit.
You never
bit
saw
more
Tom scramble. You never saw
and pick
you
up
never
yards
saw
with his legs. Believe me, man, because we had to write about it and talk about it all the time.
Scramble.
He's 38 years old. Look at how well he's moving now. He's better than ever.
He walks.
I think he's better now because he is so calm back there. He finds these little windows, and he's been tremendously accurate. In my report cards, I have not crushed him, but there were weeks earlier in the season, Tom, where we both looked at it. We'd be watching him and saying, what is up with some of these throws? Some of these – he just wasn't as accurate as we thought.
Behind guys.
He was amazingly
but
accurate.
But his eyes. It's all about the eyes. Now his eyes are down the field. Looking. And early in the season, he was looking at the rush because he was getting hit.
He was getting hit so much
the first four or five games. He was getting killed.
I think he trusts where they're going to funnel things too. Like that play to Amendola. And I think Romo might have pointed this out. He understands where the pressure's coming from. And then waits for it to push through. And, of course, he's done that a million times.
Right.
But you're really seeing it, you know, as a layperson. Oh, he's just going to wait. And when he is attacking the line and throwing, as opposed to drifting right or drifting left because the pressure's coming up the middle, he's much better.
I was impressed with the center play. After Andrew
Karras.
Eddie Karras.
Karras, he played well.
I got to seal it up. We got Devin 10 minutes.
All right.
So I'm going to let you guys say goodbye. I'm going to change into my uniform.
Go do your thing.
Because we're going to have Devin just a minute.
Put your makeup on.
Okay, let's use this as an opportunity to remind the folks out there that you should be listening to all of our NBC Sports Boston podcasts. That is, of course, the Quick Slants podcast. We have the Boston Sports Tonight podcast every morning for you people. So you can catch up on what you might have missed the night before. Maybe you're an early to bed kind of person like Gerard Mayo is, and you want to say, I know they have that show from 9 to 12 every night, Monday through Friday. I need to figure out what Gerard Mayo said or what Tommy Curran said last night, and you want to listen to it that way, you can do that. You get the Celtics Talk podcast. Gerard, Celtics freaking unbelievable.
Celtics
have you been watching?
I have. They're killing it.
It's incredible. Kyrie Irving is a very good basketball player.
I always think about now, like, what could have been, though.
with Hayward. I know.
Yeah, no matter what happens to the season, if they don't win the championship, I'm always going to say, you know, if he was there.
What could have been? Because it's just a trickle down. It's not like the starting group like needs that much more, but it's like bench scoring and stuff. Maybe one of those starters, you can move him to the bench. Anyway, great Celtics Talk podcast with Ishrod Blakely and Kyle Draper. We also have the Expats podcast, which was back this week. Phenomenal episode. I listened to it last night at the gym. Helped me just destroy my workout. Gerard's sitting there looking a little wistful. He's like, man, I didn't work out yesterday. I wish I had listened to the Expats podcast and worked out the way Phil did. So make sure you listen to all of those.
I can't work out listening to podcasts. I'll be honest with you.
Not intense enough? Nah. You need like some heavy metal music
or
something?
I'll start a podcast and it'll be like motivational things to get you through your workout. I'll start that. I won't do it through this podcast. So I'll do it on my own.
Some motivational stuff?
So I can monetize
like, it. You're going to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be the guy. That would be awesome. Yeah. Can you do that?
Let's go, Phil. Let's go work out. One more rep. You can do it.
What's the movie with the dude, the super high pitched voice when he's in the weight room? Is it I Love You, Man? Give me all you got. Give me everything you got. Everything you got. Okay, so you know to listen to all those. Subscribe to them wherever you find your podcasts. We're everywhere. You can find them on Twitter. I'm tweeting them out all the time. So probably annoying you there, but I'm just trying to make your life a little bit better. And we do have one rating. Please give us more ratings, more comments. Keep smashing the subscribe button because it lets us get the word out on the podcast
to
everybody else.
Smashing the subscribe button.
This is from PK Usyk. That's how I'm going to pronounce that. That could be totally botched, but at PK Usyk. Gives us a five-star rating, Gerard. He or she says, I live in Portland, Oregon, and I can't wait for your podcast each week.
Yeah.
Some podcasts seem almost like a waste of time. You guys are full of information and insights. Keep it up. Tom, you are still Florio's best guest. That's Mike Florio, does Pro Football Talk. And I can't understand why you aren't more national.
Wow.
Maybe he doesn't want to be national.
Is that Tom?
Maybe he doesn't want to be. This might have been Tom. Phil, you bring it every week. Mayo is a rock star. And that was from PK Usyk. Thanks, PK. Appreciate the rating.
I can't believe the Raiders fired Ken Norton Jr.
So Ken Norton got fired.
Man, we'll talk about that next week.
You get lit up by Tom Brady and you lose your job. Doesn't seem fair. Happens to everybody. All right, that's it for today. Mayo's got to go get ready for the show, as do I. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.